Probably more than me. Okay. Our reading this morning, we're carrying on with Philippians. So it's Philippians 1, 18 to 26. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will result in my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two, my desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, hopefully slides will appear. Christine's on point. Yay, we got one. So the title that Henny gave for this one was To Live or to Die. Nice, happy subject. A challenging choice. We heard what Paul has to say there, and I wonder if we did a poll now amongst us, how many would vote for death over life? Now, Paul gives us this quote in verse 21 of our reading, for to me living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. His logic is that if he lives, he can do more fruitful work for Christ, but he longs to die and go to be with Christ and end his time on earth. Now, at the time, Paul was a prisoner in Rome, possibly under house arrest or in prison, and is awaiting sentencing, which could result in either freedom or death. So in this letter to the Philippians, he seems to be contemplating both outcomes. Our, or certainly my natural instinct, being that of choosing life over death. But Paul will have seen death as a means of ending the hardship and the misery of life, and instead inheriting eternal life. Now, he had an absolute certainty that heaven awaited him, even if that meant execution. He would later die at the hands of Nero through being beheaded. But having that absolute certainty of his inheritance and the coming reward is key to the statement by Paul. I'm reminded a bit of my brother. My brother is 70. Now, I don't think he'd be beheaded. I've wanted to do it several times. My brother is a Christian, served his life as a Christian, been on Logos and all sorts. He's 70 this year, but he's been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And really as a result of COVID, it got too far, and he's been told it's terminal and was given 5 years to live. But he absolutely lives in the certain knowledge of where he's going. He knows he's going to finish this life and go to heaven, and he knows that will be the reward. You know, I've questioned him about this. He knows pain's coming, but he's happy. He's at peace. He's retained his sense of humour, which is one I've never understood, and a sure faith. And he's not doubted once. So I admire his faith hugely. As for me, I fight with the desires of the flesh and the pull of the world. I'm entering my 68th year. And if one does a bit of an evaluation, you think maybe 12 good years left. Sorry for those of you who are 80 or more. You know, what to do with those 12 years is a sort of question. It's one you think about. Now, the world out there is saying, come and see me, I'm beautiful. See what beauty I have. The flesh may say, eat, drink, and be merry. Sometimes does to me. For tomorrow, we die. So it's a real debate, one Jan and I have regularly. I've spent more time in the last 10 years, I know you'll believe it when you see my body, trying to do the right things for a long life than I did in the previous 57. No part of me wants to physically die. So what do I think we should take from this letter? Now, we've been studying the book by John Mark Comer, and I apologise to him, I've given him an R. He hasn't got an R. It's called Practicing the Way, which is all about discipleship and apprenticeship to Christ. I found the book a really good read, but a big challenge as to how we should live our lives. And there's two quotes from the book. But what we are being called to, I believe, is to die to self. Now, John Mark Comer talks of the great paradox of the Christian spirituality is that it's in dying that we live. It's in losing our false self that we discover our true self. And it's giving up on your desires that our deepest desires are finally sated. And so this is the essence of what I take from this letter to the Philippians. Paul was facing a life or death situation. He knew both were a possible outcome, but that should he die, his reward would lie ahead. But if he lives for Christ. Now, I don't think many in this congregation are necessarily facing the same life or death situation in the very near future. I hope not. It may be that some of us are a little closer to death than others. But the reality is we have no idea when it will come. I have a 95-year-old mother who is a Christian and is desperate to go to be in heaven. I won't say we're as desperate, but that wouldn't be allowed. But she's desperate to go to be in heaven. She's in a nursing home now. And she has sure hope. But as much as she pleads to go, she has no control over the timing. It's in God's hands. So I believe that the message I should bring today is not about whether we live or die. The latter is obviously inevitable at some point, but rather the need to actually die to self today, losing our false self to gain our true self. In the book, Comer also talks about the lack of happiness, peace, joy that you experience when you reject the concept of dying to self and instead put yourself first all the time. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's experienced the misery of when you're not walking in the Lord's ways and you just get miserable. It's not good. Now, being a simple fella, I've always tried to simplify the instructions from Christ as to how we should lead our lives. And I try to base my life around these two commands from Christ. The first is clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. In other words, love the Lord your God with all that you are. The second is to love your neighbour as yourself. I know that Jesus didn't say you have to hate yourself, but he puts your neighbour at the same level as yourself. I think we are called to care for ourselves, to invest in ourselves, and to do the best job with ourselves that we can, but not at the expense of our neighbour. I actually think this is what is the core of what it means to die to self. It's about putting God first and then serving our neighbour. It's about listening to God's call on your life rather than my call on my life. Now, hopefully, you'll see a fella come up called George Mueller. Who's heard of George Mueller? Oh, well done. Oh, look, lots. Oh. You should be up here, really. So there's this quote. There was a day when I died, utterly died, died to George Mueller. His opinions, preferences, tastes and will died to the world. Its approval or censure died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then I have studied to show myself approved under God. I was drawn to this quote. He was the founder of the Plymouth Brethren. I get the sense he was a little bit stubborn because he fell out with lots of people. So he split with the Plymouth Brethren and he formed the Open Brethren. But in his life, he cared for 10,024 orphans. I spoke to my wife about that this morning. We thought that was quite a lot. During his lifetime, he looked after those orphans, it says, with his wife, and provided educational opportunities for the orphans. Indeed, they were so educated that he was criticised for raising the poor to above their station in terms of their knowledge. He also established 117 schools which offered Christian education to more than 120,000 children. And had he not died to himself, then this work would have been lost. He would not have found his true self. Now, I don't know if you know Steve Chalk as well. He's someone that Jan and I used to love listening to whenever we could at Spring Harvest when we were newly married. And he's dedicated his life to those two great commands. He sets up and runs Oasis Trust, operates in 9 countries, delivers housing, education, healthcare, training, youth work and family support. He recently came across my radar because he's now running an open prison for young offenders. And it was just such a different approach, and his love came through on the interviews I saw. But it is amazing how God can use us if you choose to make your life available to him and die to our own selfish desires. Taking up our cross is a daily activity. It's not a one-off. Even though we believe that our old self is crucified with Christ, I know that my old self makes more comebacks than Mike Tyson. It needs to be continually crucified. So every day we should be picking up our cross and walk with Christ. It's a deliberate action. But note also the warning that if we don't, we lose what we consider to be our life. As many of you will know, I've spent a lot of my life advising people with a lot of money. I've run a financial advice business for most of my life. And I've seen that money doesn't bring happiness. Clients are often so focused on the money that they're miserable with the money. And one of the things that we've had to do over the years is just encourage people to spend some of the stuff rather than store it up. I know there's a parable about that. I also know through our work in the Debt Advice Centre that a lack of money does lead to a lot of unhappiness. But if money or any earthly thing is a goal, it rarely brings happiness. If earthly pleasure is your sole goal, it will often let you down. Now, Jesus is our ultimate example of dying to self, going to the cross willingly to save us, the ultimate and final sacrifice for our sin. At that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have walked. He could have avoided the excruciating pain of the cross, but he chose death, and that was the plan of his Father, That was why he came to earth. He knew with absolute certainty what awaited him in heaven. But if he hadn't have gone through that, we wouldn't have had our Saviour. We're in a constant battle with the world, the flesh and Satan. Apparently that was the title of a 1959 film, The World, the Flesh and Satan. My earthly desires are constantly with me. I want to see the world. I want to experience all that I can in the next 12 years. I want to spend the kids' inheritance. I want to do it with my wife, Jan, and enjoy the family that God has blessed us with. I sometimes have a sense of entitlement. I've worked flipping hard and taken risks through our working life. But I know that Christ is calling me to take up my cross daily. I don't think that means not enjoying life, but rather living life to the full within God's will. This quote from Paul is probably one of the ones I identify with the most. I so want to do what's right and within God's will, but I wake up the next day and know I didn't. It's a standing joke in our family. When I was working full-time, I had to travel to London a lot. I was allowed to go in the bit of the train that had breakfast served. And they would come up to me, and I so wanted to say porridge or fruit salad, but it always came out full buffet. Full grill. Full grill. So when we fall down, and we will, time and time again, it's essential that we don't allow Satan to use that, to point the finger and say, you can't do it. And we can't in our own strength, but then we must get up. We must pick up our cross and go again. Christ understands and forgives us time and time and time again. Christ has overcome the world. Satan has lost the battle. We can enjoy peace in this world, even in difficult situations. We do have a choice. We were designed with freedom of choice, which is bluntly to die to self or to put self first, to take up our cross daily or to put it down. What I'm certain of is that by dying to self and putting God first, you will have a more fulfilled life than if you choose to put yourself first. St. Paul didn't know whether he would live or die, but he knew he was doing God's will. He was prepared for death and the pain involved. He was equally ready to continue to daily take up his cross. We don't know when we will die and receive our reward, but whilst here on earth, if we allow Christ to use us, he can and will do great things. If you look at someone like Mother Teresa and the impact her life had on the poor, as she died to self and took up her cross, she found her true self, and we can as well. Thank you.